Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTellio, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Saints Coaches Show, and it'll be the Rouse's Markets Saints Coaches Show with head coach Sean Payton, Zach Strief, Bobby, myself, and special guest tonight will be senior offensive assistant wide receiver coach Curtis Johnson from St. Charles Catholic High School right on the River Parish. Bob, I'll announce this because I've had a lot of people ask me about it, but Ashad Clayton, who is considered by most to be the top running back in the state of Louisiana, he goes to Warren Eastern High School. He's verbally committed to the University of Colorado. He had some offers from Georgia, Alabama, Kansas. So LSU was also pursuing him. I think LSU's after the big fish out in Texas to try to catch. But Ashad Clayton, the number one ranked running back in the state of Louisiana, verbally commits now to the University of Colorado. I think he's still going on his visit to Kansas and Les Miles, but going to Colorado. And remember a guy, he was Melvin Johnson.
Melvin Johnson.
He also went to Colorado.
Went
from
to Colorado
neck of the woods.
From Houma. You know, to the Kansas City Chiefs. He had that tragic wrist surgery, and he never woke up from it. So, but listen, Boulder, Colorado. Have you ever been to Boulder, Colorado? Man, it's as cool as you know what. I mean, the hangout in Boulder, University of Colorado. So, I mean, I don't know if they're ever going to win anything. They used to be good, what, the Big 8, Mike Goyman, not even the Big 12, the Big 8. But, yeah, if you're a top running back, and listen, they're treating you right, go to Colorado, stay out of the SEC if you're not going to LSU. So, that's the way I look at it.
And I've seen him play. He's got some talent, Ashad Clayton. Apparently verbally committed to University of Colorado.
Boulder.
And passing over some of the SEC schools to do it. He's with us each and every 5 o'clock hour. You know him, Mr. Dave Hilbert.
All right.
From the Silver Slipper.
Good to be here.
Dave, I'm going to ask you the easy question first. How was it here in the final minutes watch LSU finally get it off their back 8 years to beat University of Alabama?
Man, ladies were crying. Guys were hugging. It was crazy. It was nuts. I mean, it was crazy.
Roll damn tide. Around the bowl, down the hole. Roll damn tide.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the cleaned up version.
He didn't give the Coach O version of it.
But listen, that and that too. That goes to show in the world we live in, you know, people of a certain age, man, they got a film or tape. Everything they do in life, you would think in the locker room, you know, you keep, because, you know, you the language there isn't like what you hear on the street, so to speak, and it sort of got out. And I know Coach O said today he had a little talk with him, and, you know, that was going to be prohibited, so to speak, in the future.
Well, he's got the camera pointing at his face. I'm like, come on,
you got to do a better job than that.
Well, in the old days, you have locker room talk that it doesn't get filmed, and then you could really say what you feel, because you know what? I just you know what? Blank Alabama. That's all I'm gonna say. but because I go way back. I mean, I remember as a little boy with Bear Bryant, and if you look at 50 years ago when, God, just a rivalry, Alabama and LSU going as far as back as that. LSU had a 9-game losing streak from 71 to 79. That was Charlie Mack and Charlie McClendon, the great Burt Jones. You know, he wasn't able to beat Alabama. But, that's why it's so significant. And the bottom line is, you look at Alabama, they got the Auburn Tigers, you got the Tennessee Volunteers, the rivalry. But right now, how relevant LSU and Alabama is, that's why it makes it so special that you're able to all of a sudden turn it around and you get a homegrown coach from Bielefouche, Coach O, getting it done at the highest level. And the reason why he's going to continue to get it done, because he's going to get the players. And he's going to get the players, and that's going to be the difference, I'm telling you, going forward. You know, you might think, oh, well, you have the right coaches. Yes, it makes a difference. And look, the turnover in Alabama staff, LSU has a more solid staff, more stability right there. But the more success you have, different stepping stones. But the bottom line, though, people or coaches want to be around Coach O. They don't necessarily want to be around Coach Saban, the little Napoleon dictator. They don't necessarily. Now, listen, Coach Saban is a you know what. I'm just telling you.
No, in today's world, he coaches on fear, and not a lot of people get away with that.
And you know what? They take it like Lane Kiffin and all. They take advantage of an opportunity, and then they move on. I think coaches want to be around Coach O. That's what makes it so special.
Also, too, is big junior leaving that has finally hit Alabama. They've had 12 juniors leave the last 2 years.
Well, everybody wants to get paid.
Exactly. And that's difficult because it affects your starters and your depth. Now you're having to play young guys that would have probably maybe had a red shirt or been a reserve. Now you got to play them as a starter.
If the Auburn Tigers offense could do something, they have a chance. I think the Auburn's defense is better than Alabama's. The front and just how we played Auburn and how now we had gashes running, and I think we can have success against any defense. But I'm hoping right now that Georgia Bulldogs, if you're an LSU fan, cheer for Georgia over Auburn. You know why? All of a sudden they're going to have four losses. Alabama beats Auburn, it's not a significant win. You know, strength of schedule and all that. So that's going to be the matchup. I'm looking at the crystal ball. Y'all know that. LSU and Georgia. I still think, depending on the outcome, you're still going to have two SEC teams in the Final Four. Obviously, you want to win. But I think, Mike, when you think right now it's a Georgia,
come on,
LSU.
Would you pick a one-loss Oregon team or one-loss Alabama team? That ain't even a debate. It's Alabama. Come on.
Yeah, but
it's
Alabama,
not even a debate.
Alabama won't have the strength of schedule, though, because
might not,
interested in what happened with Auburn.
They
will.
Beat?
To me, they will. If the Auburn Tigers could beat Georgia and then Alabama beats Auburn, then that resume. But if Auburn loses to Georgia and even if Alabama beats Auburn, it might not be enough. Because I think people got Bama fatigue. Even around the country, come on, we tired of Alabama. they go fishing or do something, go hunting.
I get it, but I still think if I had my choice, give me that Bama team over Oregon.
I don't want
to. No, I know you don't.
Beat them in their backyard. We'll play them again. It doesn't matter. We beat them already.
Exactly.
In their backyard.
Man, to tell you, it's like a year ago, nobody even knew who Joe Burrows was. Now he's like an American hero.
No, I said this. We did the post game on television. He went from great to legend in that game. He became legend in that football game for beating Alabama, and he's put himself in the driver's seat ahead of the pack to win the Heisman Trophy.
And they're all calling me the next Tom Brady Saturday night.
Yeah, I heard that. man, listen, you got a lot of steps to be the next Tom Brady. That's all I know. Brady's got a lot of rings on that finger.
But I can tell you right now, if you look at what Brady did at University of Michigan and Joe Burrow's hands down way better than Tom Brady in college.
In college,
Now, you never know. Right place, right time.
Now you get stuck in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. I said that might not be good. that's
the difference.
Hey, I would like Joe Burrow with Sean Payton.
Oh, yeah. So would Sean.
I'll tell you. But the Bengals, no, that it does matter where you go to have success.
Dave, tell everybody a little bit about what's happening here at the Silver Slipper.
Well, another great weekend coming up. We have B.B. Seacrest and his Rockin' 88. It's a great tribute to Jerry Lewis. He'll be playing this Friday and Saturday. And also here at the Silver.
Hey, how was the Beatles?
Oh,
band?
The Beatles, man, they did great. I mean, they were great. Had a nice turnout. They really did a good job. They just do that early Beatles with the black suits on, but man, there was a lot of compliments about it.
And this weekend?
BBC Chris and his Rockin' 88.
Tell us a little bit about, man, the food here is absolutely great. So if you want to stay a weekend, I know it's supposed to have some pretty frigid weather here, so you're not going to be over there by the swimming pool catching a tan. But man, if you're in the area, man, great place to stay. You got the hotel here, but also the places to eat.
Number one
buffet,
voted the number one buffet in the state of Mississippi. I mean, it's a great buffet. And of course, our brand new Blue Bayou Oyster Bar where you guys are eating tonight.
And also, too, if you want to do a little bit of gaming on the games, they yep, got yeah, it here,
the,
too.
We have the sports book open. I'll tell you, and the line before the Saints game was, like, almost out to the pit. I mean,
is that right?
Yeah, so it's happening.
Well,
so that was Sunday morning.
Yeah, Sunday morning.
And if you go on the Silver Slipper Facebook page and you promote, even though it's cold, you want to see Dave in a Speedo.
Yeah.
He will show up out there.
Is this going to be another Seinfeld with shrinkage and stuff?
No, I'll tell you what else, we have another promotion going on, Flat Screen Frenzy. Every night all the way through the end of the year, we give a 50-inch flat screen away at 7 o'clock at night.
Okay, repeat that one more time.
So, Flat Screen Frenzy, it's been going on October, November, and December. Every night, 7 days a week at 7 o'clock, we have a drawing for a 50-inch TV.
So from now all the way through the end of the year,
exactly.
You will give a flat screen TV
every
night at 7 p.m. Wow.
Yeah. Exactly.
Man, Bobby might get his name in that.
Yeah, yeah. You're able to watch the Tigers and the Saints.
Yeah, put that in it. You'll put that in his truck. Joan can maneuver that way while he's driving, he can watch. You know,
without a
safe
doubt.
Safe driving.
So Dave, I know you were ecstatic with the Tigers and the big win, obviously beating Bama. But did you come back down to earth? Are you able to compartmentalize what happened to the Falcons?
I don't know. It's gonna last the entire year. Just the buzz about beating Alabama. I mean, that's just an incredible.
But I agree with Ed. Got bigger games to play.
They do.
Of course.
You know, a lot of people laughed at that. National people. A lot of people were laughing at that sort of thing. No, Ed realizes beating Alabama is one thing, but your goal is to win the SEC, get to the SEC championship and win there, get to the Final Four and win there. He understands that. He's been on championship teams before.
Okay, a perfect example last year. Now, I know we got cheated, the non-call. Then we kicked the Rams' ass in the regular season.
And what happened?
Okay, you're all excited. Oh, yeah, oh, rah, rah, rah. Then you come playoff time. Nah. You got to get to the Super Bowl, and look what happened. So that's why Coach O knows there's still so much football to play. That when you think about it. Look at the revenge game. Look at Texas A&M, what happened, all the overtimes. And that, come on. To me, LSU would really have to shoot themselves in the foot against Ole Miss. And against Arkansas, are they still part of the SEC? Mike, I don't know.
Man, you fire your coach.
What? So, but good Texas grace. A&M.
Texas A&M's a different, different outlet now.
Now, I still think LSU's way better, but you still got to, we thought the Saints are way better.
We thought the Saints were better than the Falcons,
way better,
too.
And look what happened. So you got to come to play.
And I think that's the one thing with Ed that he has tried to emphasize is that, hey, listen, is you got to focus on the game at hand.
Right.
And we worry about celebrating when it's all over with in January. That's the goal for this football team. Dave, man, we appreciate it. Great stuff here at the Silver Slipper. Come on down, and we've got the squares.
And we'll have the radio show. We'll be here every Monday through the Super Bowl.
Through the Super Bowl, yep. When the Saints win it. Right?
When the Saints win.
Yeah, when the Saints go Miami, to South
Miami
Beach.
Twice.
Yeah, Miami twice. Go to South Beach and who that nation take it over, and we'll be celebrating two champions.
Exactly. Would that be crazy?
Oh God, that would be. I think if that would happen, if LSU wins the championship and the Saints win the Super Bowl, I think I'm retired. Because it's going to be all downhill. I mean, think about
Come on,
that.
You ain't retiring. That's great for the audience. You ain't retiring.
But how can you get better than that?
Then win it twice.
Oh, twice.
And then
oh.
maybe a three time.
No, I might have a heart attack by then. It's like, that'd be too much stress.
Thank you, Dave.
Come on down.
Come on down to the Silver Slipper. We'll be back with more second guests right after this break on the Big 870. Back here on the second guest show, Mike to tell you, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
All right, Big John.
Yeah, it was all set to be a perfect weekend. I mean, it could not have been going better from Saturday until Sunday afternoon. And then It's proof that you can't always get it the way you want it. And, you know, the Saints, what can you say? It looked very much like the Tampa Bay game at the beginning of last season when they started 0-1. It looked like the Saints were out of sync, that they were simply not you know, not clicking on all cylinders, both in their heads and on the field. And I'm having a feeling that the offensive line meeting this morning, probably not the most pleasant experience for a lot of people.
Yeah, Big John, when you look at it, now I know Sean would tell you that obviously we never want to have a game that we're rushing the ball in the teens, and that's really in the low teens when you look at 11. It's not even in the teens, but I'm talking about he knows that when we're rolling and we're possessing the football and controlling the tempo, come on, the Saints have been one of the best time of possessions. Well, the Falcons had it basically 8 minutes more than the Saints, and I know that's not winning football. And then it just seems like we've been pretty good as of late with the penalties. You know, you never want to have double-digit penalties around 100 yards. We had 12 for 90. Now, I noticed Gordon indicate that a touchdown would have made a difference, because when you're getting that kind of penalty, that's like giving up a touchdown. And, you know, was to show you how a weird game it was, we were plus one in the turnover margin.
We still got
and we didn't
like
have
that.
We didn't have a chance to win.
Wasn't no. even close.
I mean, that's why it's one of those freakish games that, you know, you learn from the film and then you burn the tape. And that this is not going to be on the Drew Brees Hall of Fame highlight reel for sure.
No. The tape hit that that far real quick. That again, when you don't win up front, you ain't winning a lot of games. I don't care if it's high school, college, pro, you're not winning. Bottom line, in Mestity, you got beat up front.
Well, to me, the guy who came to play, and it seems like he's come every game in and game out, on the defensive side, DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis, the tackle leader, I think, and I've said this, just look at the numbers and what he's accomplished. He's a better version of Jonathan Vilma. 11 total tackles. He had a sack, 3 tackles for a loss, 2 quarterback hurries, a pass defended. He was the guy, to me, Mike,
that kept everything rolling.
That, in other words, played winning football. That him and Michael Thomas. If you look at DeMario Davis and Michael Thomas, what they did against Atlanta, no, they came to play, but you got to have a team effort.
Yeah.
You got to have all 11 guys on either side of the football playing. And you know, look, as bad as those penalties were, and they were bad, you go 4 times inside the red zone and you don't score a touchdown and you're the New Orleans Saints, you're not going to win that football game. But look, guys, I want to talk about Saturday because, you know, what LSU did in that game, and I had said the previous week that LSU needed to come out with a chip on its shoulder and a big attitude, and they really did. And before I say anything more about LSU, you got to take your hat off to Tagliavola. Amazing game, right off of surgery. The guy's a warrior, and I'm happy to give credit even to Alabama where credit's due. You know, he could have easily, other quarterbacks I'm sure would have probably tanked from that point onward after he, you know, throws an interception, he has a fumble. No, he just, you know, takes himself up off the mat and plays, you know, really an amazing game. But LSU was just that much better of a football team on Saturday. It was not a freak thing. The better football team won that game on Saturday. And, you know, it's just an amazing testament to Coach Ogeron and how he prepared this team for that football game on Saturday and how well LSU did in all aspects of the game. And of course, you know, they gave us a little bit of a heart attack with the long touchdown pass near the end. But LSU won that football game. It was not Alabama losing it or anything like that. And I just tip my cap to Joe Burrow and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, you know, when you talk about Joe Burrow this season, you got to put him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire almost like Siamese twins. They work so well together. They feed off of each other so well that this was just an amazing display of being in sync on this particular day, and the better team won the football game.
Well, and you know, Big John, I look at where you're at right now, what have you done for me lately as an Alabama program and looking at LSU. You have to realize what has occurred the last 10 months. The last 2 times the Crimson Tide have played a top 5 opponent, the same thing has happened. What I'm talking about, Clemson and LSU. They were out, to say the least, Mike, by halftime in the championship game last season against Clemson. And again here against LSU. Look at this. A 16-14 lead in the title game. Alabama was ahead against Clemson. Then they surrendered 17 points in less than 10 minutes in the second quarter. Then all of a sudden at halftime it's 31-16. But guess what happened against LSU? All of a sudden it was even faster. LSU has a 17-point flurry, doing it in the final 4 minutes and 20 seconds of the second quarter. It was like a blitzkrieg, both Clemson and LSU. What they did, that's the worst quarter if you're an Alabama fan. You want to avoid the second quarter. Because what Clemson and LSU did, it was like, what the hell just happened?
You know what's the turning point, though? Patrick Queen's interception.
Interception, yeah. Because Nick Saban's saying, well, maybe we should have, like, run the clock out. How you're way behind. You can't be that conservative. But he was, in hindsight, you could say that.
Queen's interception was phenomenal.
When you look at the fame, little Napoleon, Nicky Saban. Nick Saban's defense. They didn't just crack. They got wax. I mean, crack. The thing just splintered, and the freaking wood's going everywhere. Clemson and LSU combined for 90 points and 1,041 yards against Alabama. Two meaningful games, the championship within 10 months, and LSU, and they give up over 1,000 yards of offense and 90 points. I'm telling you, that those days of Alabama dominating, it's over. I'm telling you, it ain't happening.
They'll be good.
Yeah,
they're
going to be relevant and good, but they're not going
to
dominate.
To be at that level,
no.
You've started to see with assistants leaving, juniors leaving early, that all affects your football team. I'm just telling you. People didn't want to believe that all week when I preached that, but it's true. It does have an effect on your football team. When you lose that many guys early to the NFL and you have that much traffic. I know Pete Jenkins, he came on here 2 weeks ago. What did he say? I got to introduce myself to the coaches. When he went there to help the defensive coaches, he didn't know most of them there. Goes to show you how much change happens, and that's going to be part of Ed's deal. He's going to have to re-recruit some juniors to come back on this LSU team. Not all of them will. Come on, Delpit, Fulton, they out. They're going to be early round picks. But some of the other guys, he's going to have to re-recruit.
Yeah, come back and say, boy, you could better your draft status going forward by coming back to
LSU.
That's
a lot easier said than done.
No, and playing even better.
Because some young men.
No, they
this is,
come on, they need the money.
They need the money.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
And I would never fault them for leaving early because try to help your family out. Big John, thanks so much, bud. We appreciate the call. And, again, for Veterans Day, man, we appreciate how much you do to put that in the limelight on a Saturday.
In Lakeview, yep.
And also, too, ending it before the LSU-Alabama game.
Well, he was smart enough to know that. I mean, you know, you have to know what's the priority. I mean, come on, you got to get it right. We love LSU that much, and boy, Mike, we got to talk about too the ratings and how dominant it was the LSU Alabama game.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Also, we'll have Nickel State head football coach Tim Rebo. We'll be back with more. Second guest. We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike DeTellier, Bobby Abear, live from the Silver Slipper Casino. Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. On the line with us now, the head football coach of Nicholls State University, Tim Rebo. The Nicholls State Report with head coach Tim Rebo is brought to you weekly by the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, keeping you safely in the game. Also, First American Bank and Rouse's Markets. Coach, congratulations. Big win Saturday. And, man, your offense really kicked it in gear, got a big explosion of points in the second half.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good output, scoring 48 points, Mike, and it was really balanced. We, you know, chased 4K through for over 300 yards, and we also rushed for over 200. So 500 plus yards of offense, 48 points, really good outing.
And coach, you got a little bit of help too we kind of watch it. I'm watching LSU. I'm watching your game. And then all of a sudden we see Southeastern.
34-0.
Man, they took the belt out. And I told you a couple weeks back, it's like cannibalization. Everybody's eating up one another in the Southeast Conference. Southland Conference upset Central Arkansas. And, man, that opens a four-way tie now in the Southland.
Yeah, it's tough. What they did, an outstanding job to go on the road and do that in Conway, Arkansas, is really tough to do. We got four teams right now that's 5-2. And, we talk to our team all the time. It's really good to be playing for something this late in the year. You get into this November, and you got some meaningful games. And we got two of them left against our in-state rivalries, opponents. What else could you ask for?
Now, Coach Rebo, when you look at the ebb and flow of a game, obviously look at the final score, 48-27. You go, well, Nicholls State was well in hand. But when I was reading, I thought this had to be critical, and I want you to comment on it, that when Chase was able, 4K was able to hit David Robinson Jr., a 38-yard touchdown pass in the final minute of the second quarter, and all of a sudden you took a 27-20 halftime lead. So that's always encouraging. When you have that kind of big play going into halftime and you have that momentum.
Come on. I knew David Robinson can play. Look where he went to high school.
Yeah, he's a Trojan, man. He did a great job for us. Yeah. Listen, Bobby, you're exactly right. The game, I really felt good about the game. Defensively, we were playing well. And you look at the final score, 27 points. Defense gave up 10 points. We gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. Yeah. And then we had a miss cue on a punt, and they got the ball on the 2-yard line. So when you look at it, I thought defense did a good job. I thought we had the game kind of in control, but it was good to get that one right before the half to go in with that lead.
Coach, one of the things, you're always looking for step-up guys. Deion Ray, who's a senior, he went to Helen Cox High School, man, comes up with a huge game for you. I think it's 7 catches, over 150 yards, and, huge game for Deion.
Him and Chase has been really getting on the same page, and he's a guy who can, in your guys' terms, he can take the top off of it.
Right.
So he can threaten it, getting it down the field. Chase has been finding him. He can put his foot in the ground and really go. And you know, with Dejon being out, we really needed somebody to step up, and he's become that guy.
Now, Coach Rebo, how do you figure this out? You know, this day and age is kind of running back by committee, but I know who would be ahead of that committee, Julian Gums. I'm looking, ran for 3 touchdowns when he carried the ball 22 times, 104 yards. Do you have, like, a number in your head, or depending on the ebb and flow of the game, how many touches that you want to get with Julian Gums?
I think it's around that mark, Bobby. It's somewhere between 18 and 22. You know, you can get him in there. He feels good about it. Look, he had a real bruising game the week before. He didn't practice a lot. I didn't have to see him in practice a whole lot last week. I got to get that big horse to the race on Saturday.
Yep,
and,
right.
So we're going to continue to do that with him and Bussy again the rest of the way.
Coach, a little bit about Kevin Moore. Leads your team in tackles with 9, and there's a guy that really has come to play. We've talked so much about Kevin Johnson, Sully Lesh, and what they mean to your defense, but Kevin Moore really stepped it up also on the defensive side of football.
Well, he's one of those guys that we call just a really good football player.
Yep.
He, you know, in high school out of Acadiana, he played quarterback for him. he can play all over the field. He's like another linebacker for us, playing at the safety spot. Down in that box, he's really physical. We just love what he brings to that side of the ball.
Coach, this week is sort of special. They bring in back the crew with Sonny Jackson and that crew that had such great success at Nicholls State. And It's a part I see Coach O doing it also at LSU, and you've done it a lot, certainly at Nicholls State, to bring back guys that have played there, been meaningful to coaches that have been there, and that means a lot to them. I've had so many people of coaching and former players say,
show their
man,
appreciation
listen, yeah. of how much Tim Rebo has reached back and really out to us to put us in that situation to come back here at Nicholls.
You know, it started, Mike, with Coach Clements and the things that he's done and bringing all of his group back. And I think a guy who's had just as much of an impact on Nicholls football as Sonny Jackson, incredible.
Yep.
And what he did over there in the 80s. And he has so many players to come through there that have gone on to play in the NFL. great teams, and they've never really been honored. So it was a time to bring all those guys back. I'm super excited. Just the buzz on the street. You know, and again, we're playing McNeese, a place that he went on to coach. So it's really going to be a special weekend.
Just watch out for that quarterback at McNeese.
Yeah.
that last name, he didn't grow up on the Bayou, but Cody Ogeron's had a really good season for them.
Man, he's really special with the ball in his hand. You know, he can beat you with his arm, and he could beat you with his leg. We've been watching a lot of film on him, and don't worry, we're going to know where number 8 is on the field at all times.
Now, Coach Rebo, boy, isn't this when you do the scheduling, you never know, you just play him whenever you play him, but isn't it almost right now that you challenge the team and considering the task at hand that you're starting the playoffs? Because you look how everyone on top of the conference and McNeese and Southeastern. So really, it's the playoffs before the playoffs, right?
Yeah, every week. It's been that way. Bobby, when we lost the second time and we lost to Abilene Christian, it's really been that way. You know, we've been preaching one week at a time, but our guys are smart. They know what's ahead. McNeese has 3 losses, and I know they're trying to sell it, too, that they can get back in this race also. So you're playing an in-state rival. We got them in Southeastern left. And look, it is the playoffs, the final 2 weeks.
Coach, thanks so much for your time tonight. I know you got another engagement, but we appreciate it. I'll see you Saturday afternoon in Guidry Stadium.
All right, guys. Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Coach Rebo.
Tim Rebo, head football coach at Nicholls State University. The Nicholls State Report with head coach Rebo is brought to you weekly by the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, keeping you safely in the game. Also by Rouse's Markets and First American Bank. We'll be back with more Second Guess here on the Big 870.